I believe I want to share the word that God gave for tonight. I don't know, there is not much of content, but we will see how the Holy Spirit would lead us. Hallelujah. Amen. So what we will hear from the Lord tonight is Ebenezer. Ebenezer. The Bible defines Ebenezer as thus far the Lord has helped us. Ebenezer. The Hebrew word for Ebenezer is the stone of help. And I am going to bring to you from the scripture, there are two Ebenezer that the Lord showed me and differentiated me. There is an Ebenezer where the help of God did not arrive. And there is another Ebenezer where the help of God arrived. Hallelujah. So we are going to look at Ebenezer, the help of the Lord. Now, listen to me very carefully. Every attack on you, every attack on you, or every limitation against you that is attacking you, that is against you, not allowing you to grow, is because you need to win a battle in the realm of the spirit. Every attack that is launched against you is a evidence that there needs to be a battle that needs to be won in the realm of the spirit. That physical battle that you are facing, that physical attack you are facing, it can be only won when you win the spiritual battle in the spirit realm. And every spiritual battle can only be won by the help of the Lord. I want everyone to say the help of God. Everyone, remove your mute and say the help of God.
The help of God.
The help of God. Hallelujah. It says that if God not be with a man, he could not do all those things. Hallelujah. Nicodemus said, if God was not with him, if God's help was not with that man, he could not do it. It is by the help of God we accomplish things. It is by the help of Yahovah. It is by the help of the Holy One that we survive in this wicked world. It is by the help of God that we move ahead. It is by the help of God that we are preserved and not killed. The help of God, the help of God. Hallelujah. So, every attack that is launched against us, we need to understand it is coming against us because there is a battle that we are facing in the physical. Hallelujah. But the root of it is the battle in the spiritual realm that can only be fought and won by the help of God. If the help of God is not there, you cannot win the spiritual battle, and in turn, the physical battle cannot be won. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, Apostle Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of darkness, against the powers of darkness, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. That means when you face a physical battle in your life, when you are having a physical attack in your life, you need to be tuned with the Holy Spirit so much that your eyes turn away from the physical attack and start to look in the spirit realm for the help of God. Hallelujah. Now, the meaning of Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 12, Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, don't waste your energy, don't waste your time, don't waste your mind in sorting out things in the realm of flesh and blood. Hallelujah. He's saying, invest your time, invest your energy, invest your focus, your attention, your mind in searching out things in the realms of the spirit and not in the realm of flesh and blood. Hallelujah. I was reading the book of 1 Samuel in the last few days. And we know in the book of 1 Samuel, the first chapter, Hannah cried out for a child. For many years, she went to the temple of the Lord. She went to Shiloh, where the temple of the Lord was. But one fine day, her prayer changed. And she prayed, Lord, if you give me a child, I will give it back to you, and no razor shall come upon his head. That is Nazarite. I was talking about it last week, but any which ways. When she prayed that prayer, she received a child. And then that Hannah wrote a psalm, a song, in the second chapter of 1 Samuel. And there she says, in that song that she writes, she says, by strength no man shall prevail. Let me take you to that verse. Hallelujah. In the book of 1 Samuel. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 2. This is Hannah speaking. Who has understood the way of the Lord is by surrender. And see what she says. She says, 1 Samuel, chapter number 2, verse number 9. He will guard the feet of his saints. But the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. You understand that? By strength, by the strength that people have in the realm of flesh and blood, we cannot prevail. We cannot prevail any attack. Even though it seems that in the beginning we are rising, but suddenly a fall will come if we are rising by the strength of man. If we are rising by the help of man, of a human being, if we are rising by the help of flesh, if we are rising by the economy of the world, there will come a sudden fall. Because the Bible says, by strength, it's talking about the flesh strength, it's talking about the human strength. By strength, no man shall prevail. A man who prevails is a man who is helped by God. Oh, hallelujah. A man who prevails is a man who is helped by the Lord. A man who wins is a man who understands that he cannot win, but the Lord can win it for him. A man who has victory is a man who understands that he has no strength to fight against the enemy, but the Lord can fight and give him the victory. Are we understanding now? The help of the Lord. Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. Before going into the two Ebenezer, that is the voice of God for tonight, the two Ebenezer in the Bible. Before going into that, I want to teach you about the help of God. Are we understanding? So, Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 12, that is what Apostle Paul is saying. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So he's saying, don't invest your time and energy in the realm of the flesh and blood. Hallelujah. If there is an attack in your marriage, don't waste your time, don't waste your energy in arguing with your wife, in fighting with your wife. But locate the enemy in the spirit realm, and God helps in the realm of the spirit. God does not help in the realm of physical. He helps in the realm of the spirit. Are you understanding that? Amen. You know, if your voice is, for example, I'm not talking about anyone. For example, if your wife is completely, is continuously nagging at you. Morning, night and noon, she's nagging. And here you say, Lord, you know what? Can't you just throw her out of the house? Can't you just shut off her mouth? And you see those prayers that you do in the flesh against the flesh and blood, and in the realm of the flesh, God will not answer those prayers. You will see that person continuing to do what the person is doing, because his help cannot be consulted in the realm of flesh and blood. If you want his help, you need to get into the realm where he offers the help. This Bible, when I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I saw that the Bible is a testament of spiritual battles. The Lord revealed to me the Bible itself is the book of warfare, where there is a fight and there is a conflict. between two kingdoms. Hallelujah. And the Lord revealed to me, the Lord has chosen people so that we can be in the Lord's army, fighting from the kingdom of the Lord, being on the Lord's side, bringing the kingdom of God. That is the Bible. That is what the Bible is about. Listen to me. From Genesis unto Revelation, the Bible is a testament of battles. The Bible is a testament of battles. Either battles between kingdoms, either battle between two people, either battle between two kindred, two tribes. It's a testament of battles. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Right from the start, there started a battle between Abel and Cain. Cain started to become jealous of Abel. There was the battle between two brothers. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. Right in the book of Judges. Judges, the book of Judges is filled with battles. Exodus, battle between Egypt and Israel. Moses against Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Amen. When we come to the book of Samuel, battles between the Philistine and the Israel people. Battle between David and Goliath. And when you meditate on every battle that was fought in the Bible, hallelujah, the servants of God received help from God first in the realm of the spirit before they entered into the physical battle. I will come to the scripture. They already had the assurance of victory because by the Lord's help they already won the battle in the spirit realm. So when they came in the physical, they came with assurance, they came with faith, they came with the foreseeing and the foresight of knowing what is going to happen, that they have already won. Because they understood that they cannot win if they don't receive the help of Jehovah, the help of God. If they don't have Ebenezer, if they don't have the help of God, they knew that they could not win. These people won because they knew the help of God. David was a consistent reigning king in Israel till the end of his life. He put all the enemy all around him to silence. No one could stand up against Israel and the kingdom of Israel all the days of David. You know why? Read the book of Psalm. The book of Psalm is filled with the Lord is my help. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my strength. Those are the help of God. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. No one can stand against you all the days of your life if you understand the help of God. You go and read Psalm. You go and read the Bible once again and see what I am saying, the battles, and read the Psalm. David was a man. I will come to the scripture when we move ahead. David was a man who, the Lord, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my strong tower. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, not I, the Lord. He said, my enemy were too strong for me. I could not fight against them. I could not deliver myself. But I knew the Lord could do for me. If you look at the physical ability of David, he was a weak man. But if you look, the God who stands with David, that is the God, the secret of his victory, the secret of his success, the God who was his help. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we say an hallelujah? Remove your mute and say hallelujah. Amen. The help of God. Amen. The help of God. The help of God. The help of God. Okay. Okay. Before we move ahead, let me give you some scriptures to see what we are saying. Okay. Judges chapter number 7. This is the battle that Gideon faced. Judges chapter number 7. Verse number. Judges chapter number 7, verse number 13. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream, to my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." You see, before even he could go to the battle, what God showed him from the realm of the spirit, from the realm of dreams, that is the realm of spirit. The people in the camp of Gideon, two of them, one was explaining the dream. "Oh, you know what I saw? I saw a loaf of barley bread tumbling down in the camp of Midian. And it struck, the barley bread struck the camp of Midian so hard that it was overturned and its collapse." And the other person says, "It's nothing but the sword of Gideon." Hallelujah. The sword of Gideon and of the Lord, which will destroy the camp of the Midianites. When Gideon first received the victory from the help of the Lord in the realm of the spirit. As a Christian, you need to always be in the conviction that your enemy is not physical, but your enemy is spiritual. And the enemy is in the realm of the spirit. And if you want to have victory in the realm of the spirit, you need to receive the help of God. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord would not offer help to every person. There are some conditions. Even if you say, "Oh, the Lord help me," if you did not fulfill the requirements of his help will not come. The Lord will not send the army of heaven. The Lord will not send his word. The Lord will not reveal the strategy for your victory in the realm of the spirit. The Lord would, in other words, the Lord will not give you help if you don't fulfill certain conditions and requirements. Hallelujah. That is what we will come to the scripture. Two Ebenezer. One Ebenezer where God does not offer his help. The second Ebenezer is where God offers his help. Are we understanding? Amen. Listen to me. Now Gideon was helped by God because Gideon was ready to surrender to the strategy of God. Okay? Gideon was ready to surrender to the strategy of God. When the angel appeared to Gideon, the angel told, first of all, what he has to do. Then he revealed the vision to Gideon, and then he revealed the mission or the way through which he can do the vision. He can complete the assignment. And the first thing was sanctification. The first thing was he told Gideon to destroy the altar of Baal and destroy the image of Baal and Ashtoreth in the father's house. Hallelujah. We will come to that. That is what our brother Ralston brought us the word. He said, even before you cross the Jordan, you need to be sanctified. Hallelujah. Even before you want to fight the enemy, you want to conquer territory, you want to do all those things, or you want a good business, or you want this breakthrough, you want that breakthrough, you want to have victory in the battle you are facing, you need to be sanctified. You need to be surrendered to the strategy of the Lord. Hallelujah. If Gideon was like, "Oh God, you revealed to me that I will deliver Israel. So don't talk to me much. I have my own plan to deliver Israel." God's help will not come for Gideon. Amen. Are we understanding? So we will come to the strategy, but I am explaining you from the scripture how God, by the help of God, these people won. And the next thing is, if God wants to help you, he will ensure that when you win the battle, the glory does not go to you, but the glory comes to him. Hallelujah. If a person is fighting a battle to get glory for his own name, the Lord will not help him. If a person wants God to help him for the fulfilling of his selfish ego, God will not help him. God fights a battle when he knows that the glory will go to him and not to a man. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? That's why. And Gideon surrendered. He had nothing to do with his own name. He just surrendered to the strategy. After he destroyed the altars of Baal, destroyed the images of Ashtoreth, and I don't want to go into the scripture, he was named Jerubbaal, and then God started to tell him. The 33,000 people, he started to bring it down. He said, these people are too many for me, Gideon. Too many for me. Why? Because then Israel will say, oh, we had 33,000 warriors who fought the... He said, no. You know what, Gideon? I want you to reduce the number. He reduced the number, brought the number to 300. And you know how many numbers were there in the camp of Gideon? In the camp of Midian, the enemy? Their numbers was as the grains of the sand on the seashore. So many people in the camp of Midian, and here 300 people. Hallelujah. And there was a strategy through which they fought. I revealed that strategy in my previous sermons, saying the strategy of the sword and the shoes, the attacking parts of the armor. Remember that? Those who have listened, it was a very deep study of the strategy of the sword and the shoes. But I don't want to go into that, touch that. But I am teaching you that God will only fight a battle when he knows that you have nothing to do in that battle. The glory will come to him. Then only he will invest his help. I am teaching you how to receive God's help. Hallelujah. Because man cannot survive, he cannot prevail if you don't have the help of God with you. So that is one of the scripture from Gideon. I showed you how he first received the help of God in the realm of the spirit. Through the help of God, he won the physical battle against the army of the Midianites. Secondly, the victory that Moses and Aaron had over Pharaoh, that also was accomplished by the help of the Lord. Moses was not at all able to do all those things, or neither Aaron. That victory was already won. You know where it was won? On the mountain of Sinai, where God encountered Moses in the burning bush. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 4. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter number 4. Now listen, I'm reading from verse number 1. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? Now, this is happening on the mountain of Sinai, where Moses encountered the burning bush. And this scripture, Exodus chapter number 4, the first part of the scripture, I call it the school of the spirit. Yes, the school of the spirit. You see, Moses was trained in all the wisdom and might of Egypt. It's there in the book of Acts. Stephen says that Moses was trained in all the might and the wisdom of Egypt. And with that wisdom and might, he tried to become a deliverer of Israel. He went and killed a warrior of Egypt. Okay? Hallelujah. Who was tormenting one of the Israel people, one of the men of Israel. He went and killed that person. And he thought, because Egypt used to train people in physical strength. But remember that scripture? By strength, no man shall prevail. So the strength of Egypt could not make Moses what he had to be, the deliverer of the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. So he went to the wilderness and so on and so forth, that story. But at last, he encountered this God on the mountain of Sinai. And the mountain of Sinai became the school of the spirit that will train Moses to subdue the kingdom of Egypt and to subdue the power of Pharaoh. Not the wisdom and strength in the Egypt training school, but the school of the spirit. Hallelujah. I would encourage people to go to Bible school and do the Bible degree and get the theory knowledge. But after that, enroll yourself in the school of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Enroll yourself in the school of the Spirit. If you think that Bible degree will give you the power to preach the gospel, you are wrong. You need to enroll yourself in the school of the Spirit on the mountaintop in isolation with the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, coming back. This is the school. This is the training given to Moses. So God said in verse number 3, Moses, what is that there in your hand? He said, a rod. The Lord said, throw it to the ground. And the rod became a serpent. Okay. The serpent signified the spirit that Pharaoh carried. I have many times told you, when you read the book of Ezekiel, God addresses Pharaoh as the big snake that dwells in the water. So that is the spirit in Pharaoh. So the first chapter of Moses' training was how to handle Pharaoh. That was the chapter in his school of the spirit course. The first chapter was how to handle Pharaoh. So he threw his rod on the ground and it became a snake. So the Lord signified this rod that you have in your hand. This is the rod that you will use to subdue the serpentine spirit of Egypt that operates through the office of magic, sorcery, occultism, divination in the palace of Egypt. When you read the Bible, when you read Exodus, do you observe something there? Do you observe something that captains of the army did not surround Pharaoh? The people who surrounded Pharaoh in his throne room were sorcerers and magicians. Because they were placed higher than the army of Egypt. They were the one who would manipulate the realms of the spirit. They were the one, the priesthood of Egypt, who would use the altars to keep Israel and other nations under bondage. Hallelujah. So God told you, Moses, by studying in the school of Egypt, you are going to attack the army of Egypt. Army of Egypt is not the enemy, Moses. This snake, the priesthood of Egypt is your enemy. The altar of Egypt is your enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. I have seen people going to Bible college and then they start to fight with the army of Egypt. And they are defeated, they are depressed, they don't know what to do. Because, my brother, you are fighting with the wrong enemy. Your fight is with the priesthood of Egypt and not the army of Egypt. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Your fight is with the spirit that gives power to Egypt, that is the snake. So that is the first chapter in the training school that Moses went through. The first chapter was how to subdue the snake, the Pharaoh, the snake in Pharaoh. And God told, this is the rod of Moses that is used against the witchcraft and sorcery of Egypt. I taught you that, you know, when I took sermons on the serpentine spirit of Egypt. So I'm not going into that. It's the rod. Hallelujah. Remember, the rod of Aaron, it is also called. The rod of Aaron that budded, it's also found in the most holy place. That is the authority that God gives, the help of God in the form of authority that he gives to subdue the snakes, to subdue the serpentine priesthood. Hallelujah. So he said, God told Moses, okay, when he saw the serpent, the Bible says what it says, verse number 4, then the Lord said to Moses, verse number 3, it says, and he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses fled from it. This Moses, who was so strong, he would not be afraid of the army men of Egypt. He would not be afraid of the people. You know, remember Zipporah, Moses' wife, how she became Moses' wife? Because there were these goons who were troubling her when she came to draw water and Moses came and fought with them. So Moses was a strong man. He was not afraid of men. But here he is, when spirits appeared to him, he was afraid and he fled. A man who has human strength can show his strength in the realm of the flesh and blood. But if he does not understand the things of the spirit, however six-pack abs, eight-packs ab he has, 56 or 58 chest he has, and whatever biceps he has, oh my God, a small snake can kill him. Human strength, by strength, no man shall prevail. Only a person who has the wisdom of God, the help of God from the realm of the spirit, though he looks skinny, but when he stands, oh God, the earth will tremble, the demons will shout, but he looks skinny like this. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, any which ways, listen to me. So he fled from it because he was afraid of the snake. Then the Lord said in verse number 4, then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That shows that God gave Moses the power through the rod, the authority to keep Pharaoh under his control. Do you see, Pharaoh was never killed by Moses? Yes. Moses never killed Pharaoh, but Moses kept Pharaoh under the rod of God. Moses enclosed Pharaoh in the prison of God. Hallelujah. Oh my God. I want to share a revelation with you. Some days back. It's not a long time, but when I came for prayer in the secret place, you know, I started to pray in the afternoon, and by evening I was just reading my Bible. But in the evening I just was reading my Bible, and I just turned my head like this on the floor, like this on the floor. When I turned my head on the floor, I saw a weird worm crawling on the floor. Weird worm. It looked like an earthworm, but it was not an earthworm. And that worm had a head of a hammer. You know, earthworm are like a cylindrical shaped worm, but this worm had the head of a hammer, like a hammer. Okay, have you seen the head of the axe, how it is like a semicircle? That is how his head was. And he was crawling like this on the floor. I said, where did it come at? Because the windows were closed, the doors were closed, everything was closed. And this worm, very weird looking. So when I looked at the worm, it was going towards the bed. So I was in a hurry to do something with the worm and to cast him off my presence. I was in a hurry because it could. So I was thinking, this worm that appeared in my room, maybe it's an earthworm. Maybe it's looking different, or maybe a species of earthworm or so. So what I did is, when it was crawling, it was contracting and it was extracting. And the body in between was fat. It was so silky and smooth and shiny, like the skin of the snake, something like that. Okay, so I took hold of a tissue paper. Okay, and I tried to pick up that worm with the tissue paper. Now, what to do now? No one is around, so I have to do it. So when I grabbed the worm to pick it up with the tissue paper, the way it was moving, it was so, I cannot explain to you, brothers and sisters, that worm was so silky and smooth, and the way it was contracting and whatever extending, moving, that it just slipped out from the hold of my fingers from the tissue paper. It's not coming. And when it slipped out, it started to emit a sticky transparent pigmentation. I said, what is that? I said, let me grab a hold of it again. So I tightly held it, and I went out and I threw it in the bush. I threw it in the bush and I came back. So I said, Lord, you know what? I don't want to hinder the flow of my Bible study. So let me continue to read the Bible, and then I will investigate what was that. Was it by chance or was it something else? Oh, okay. So I read the Bible. I read the Bible until night, 10:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30 p.m. And then I closed the Bible. And then I did my after Bible study of some meaning of the words, and then I started to search on the internet because I did not knew what was the worm. So, but I remember, you know, a shark that has a head like that. I remember that shark. So I started to search for that shark that looked like this worm. Okay. And then when I started to look for that shark, the name of the shark on the internet was a hammerhead shark, because its head is like a hammer. So I said, if this is a hammerhead shark, the worm would be the hammerhead worm. Then I started to search for it on the internet, and it appeared the hammerhead worm, exactly the worm that I saw. And believe it or not, that worm is found in the US, in Louisiana, and people are sick of that worm. And that worm releases toxins and poison that is harmful for human beings and animals. And that worm that looks like an earthworm actually feeds on earthworm. It kills the earthworms who make, you know, what earthworms do. Earthworms make the soil fertile. So it feeds on the earthworms. It kills the earthworms. That is what the internet said about it. Now, the most weird part that the internet said about it, it said you cannot kill that worm. If you try to cut that worm and kill it, if you cut that worm in two parts, two more worms will emerge out of the two parts. If you cut the worm in 10 parts, hammerhead worm, go and search it out. It will, if you cut the worm, now listen to me. There is a revelation behind it. That's why I'm explaining everything. So if you cut the worm in 10 parts, they say that 10 more worms will be created out of it. 10 more worms. So you just can't kill it. The way to kill it is to enclose that worm inside a jar and put salt and vinegar in the jar. That is how. Now I am explaining you that because I came on Pharaoh. That is what Moses was commanded. You handle Pharaoh. You don't persecute him. You keep him enclosed. You keep him under the rod of my authority, that Pharaoh. Oh God, that is how we handle some principalities. We cannot kill them. Okay. So I said, that's a good information. But what that got to do about, is it related something what God? Okay, I left it and then I went to sleep. Next morning, I woke up and I prayed with some people. And then after I kept the call, in the morning, I started to pray. As soon as I finished my calls with people and I started to pray, the Lord, the Holy Spirit started to speak to me. He said to me, Rahul, do you remember yesterday's worm, hammerhead worm? I said, yes. He said to me, that hammerhead worm that looks like earthworm, but it's not an earthworm, and kills the earthworm that make the soil fertile, are the false preacher who are killing the preachers who work in the vineyard of the Lord, making my field fertile. They are the one attacking. And then the Lord told me point number two. You see, when you try to hold it, it releases toxins. That means if you try to correct them, if you try to counsel them and place them in the right place, they will release poison against you. That is how they are. Point number three. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? Point number three. If you try to expose them, you know, oh, that preacher, you know, take their names and tell people, oh, don't criticize them. The more you cut them, the more they will increase, he said. Don't cut them. He said, the more you cut these people, these hammerhead worms, these false ones, the more they will increase. That is the third thing he told me. And he told me the fourth thing is the way to stop what they are doing is enclose them in my prison, enclose them in my jar. Put them under the rod of God. And let the rod of God keep them under the control of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? What I am teaching you, will the Bible college will not teach you. These things I receive it from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my God. These things are only received on the top of the mountain. And men of God who dwell on the mountain can only know this wisdom. And Moses was taught that wisdom. The way Moses thought, I will destroy the army of Egypt and then I will kill Pharaoh. Oh, God said, you cannot kill Pharaoh. He is that hammerhead worm. He is that crawling creature. The more you try to cut him, the more he will increase in strength. You don't do it like that. There is a way of handling this snake, is to keep him in your hand by the power of the rod, to keep him under your control, to keep him enclosed in the jar of the Lord. There are some people who are a face of that kind of principality, whom you need to understand that you need to enclose those spirits. Arrest them in the prison of the Lord. There are some persecutors who are persecuting you for no rhyme or reason. Hallelujah. You need to understand that. You will think, oh, he's accusing me. I will also teach him a lesson. I will also do that to me. You need to enclose them in the jar of the Lord. Pastors who married the wrong woman and now you are suffering in marriage. You are suffering in marriage and you think you will get a divorce. No. Don't cut her. You need to enclose her spirits in the jar of the Lord. Keep her under the rod of God. Or wives, keep that kind of husband in the jar of the Lord. Are we understanding? Don't get me wrong. I am talking about those extreme people in marriage who are just not allowing the spouse to grow in the Lord. I am talking about such people. Enclose them in the jar of the Lord. Oh God. Hallelujah. That is what I was thinking during the night. How in the world some worm in Louisiana can drop in my room here in India? Hallelujah. How did it come here? And you know what they say? That those hammerhead worms have to be enclosed in the US also. Who are killing earthworms, who make the field of the Lord fertile and make the field of the Lord ready for harvest. Hallelujah. Any which ways. Oh God. So listen to me. That was the first chapter in the training school of Moses. That was the first chapter of keep Pharaoh under your control by the power of the Lord. So let's go ahead. The next one. Verse number 5. Let's continue. Exodus chapter number 4. Verse number 5. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. This is the second chapter now. Put your hand in your bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he put your hand in your bosom again. And so he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like the other flesh. What the title of the second chapter is the pride and the flesh of Pharaoh. Along with the snake of Pharaoh, there was also the human pride in Pharaoh that signified the flesh that God told Moses to put in his bosom and to draw it out. And he saw that his flesh was leprous. That means he gave the power to Moses that through his ministration, he gave the anointing to Moses that this proud Pharaoh who does not bow before anyone, I will make his pride leprous. I will strike the pride of his flesh with leprosy. And he will listen to you. Okay. You see how many plagues and destructions God had to do in order to make this man bow down? Do you understand the immense pride this Pharaoh had? The pride of the flesh? You see, snakes can operate only through proud people. Yes. Hallelujah. If you are proud in your own self, in your own ways, it's an invitation to the serpent to come and operate through your life. Do you remember the words in the book of Peter? In the epistle of Peter, chapter number 5, it says what? God resists the proud. Means the hand of God is against a proud person. Why? Because a proud person has a snake inside of him. Or inside of her. Amen. Are we understanding? So, The second training school is how to subdue this arrogance and the pride of Pharaoh. Sometimes the battles you face, more than the demons, it is the pride of people that is attacking you. Yes, it is the arrogance of people. It is the jealousy of people that they have, because of which you are attacked. And God gave Moses, are we understanding? The help of God comes in the form of revelation. The help of God comes through his word. The help of God comes through his wisdom. Ebenezer, the help of God. Are we together until now? The third thing, okay, let me go fast. And he said, put your hand, okay, we have done that. Then the third thing, you know, we don't have time. The third thing he said, you know, draw some water and pour it, it became blood. What it was, verse number, yes, verse number 9. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land, signifying that God gave Moses the authority to destroy the marine spirits. The marine spirits. Remember, those snakes that operated in Pharaoh's body were from the water. Remember, the first few plagues were against the marine body, the rivers of Egypt. I don't have time to go there. You can read it afterwards. The frogs came out, the water became blood, and all those things. So the first few plagues were to destroy the marine powers that were under the water. Hallelujah. Amen. So I am teaching you first. I spoke about Gideon. Then I spoke about Moses. Then I can go on to spoke about David and Goliath. You see, all Israel was afraid of Goliath, but David came. And when he came, Goliath was even cursing David. He said, oh, you are a dog. And he cursed David by the name of his gods, Goliath. I told you, Goliath was not a warrior. Goliath was a big-time sorcerer. Because the Bible never mentions of him fighting. The Bible only mentions of him cursing and speaking. And because of his speech, Israel was paralyzed. Are we together? Okay, hallelujah. And this David could not even take the armor of Saul and all those things on him and handle the weapons that Saul used for warfare. David said, I don't need those things because I know that I will defeat Goliath, not with the strength of the armor or with the physical sword and spear, but I will go against him by the help of God. That is, in the name of the Lord of hosts, I am going against him. Hallelujah. Before David could defeat Goliath, he already knew how he will defeat Goliath, because before he defeated Goliath and cut off his head, he prophesied that to Goliath. He said, today I will cut off your head and give your flesh to the birds of the air. He prophesied first, and because by revelation in the realm of the spirit, he has already received the help of God. Do we now see that God helps in the realm of the spirit? And with that help, we win battles in the physical realm. Hallelujah. Amen. And here we are asking God for help against flesh and blood. Okay, let's go ahead. There is a lot to cover. There is a lot to cover. I don't know how, but so that is David and Goliath. There is other example like Joshua and the walls of Jericho, like Jehoshaphat. They all received help from God from the realm of the spirit, which gave them victory in the realm of the physical. Are we understanding now? Okay, now let us come to the word that God wants to give us. So the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 4 and the chapter number 7, two chapters. Okay, 1 Samuel, if you are writing it down, one column you write 1 Samuel chapter number 4, and one column you write 1 Samuel chapter number 7, and the heading is the two Ebenezer. Okay, so let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 4. First Samuel chapter number 4. It says, verse number 1. Now the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. This is the first Ebenezer. They were fighting from a place called the Stone of Help, which is Ebenezer. Okay. And the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. Okay, they were defeated. Verse number 3 is very important. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." So this is, they are forcing the presence of God to come and help them as per their own ways. We will come to that. Okay. So that is what they are doing. So they sent the people sent to Shiloh that they may bring. Okay, let's skip all those things. Verse number 5. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. I explained this earlier, but we will come to that again. The shout by your own ability, the shout of the flesh. They shouted loudly, "Oh, we will win today. We will have victory today." You know, false assurances they were giving to their own self. And they were shouting. Now, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the sound of the great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord has come into the camp. Okay, even the Philistines were afraid. The enemy got afraid. Oh, they are shouting so loudly. Okay. So, let's skip verse 7, verse 8. "Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of this mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight." So the Philistines fought and Israel was defeated. And every man fled to his tent. There was a great slaughter and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldier. 30,000 men were killed. Also the Ark of God was captured. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. The priests who brought the ark, they died. This is the first Ebenezer, okay? Where the first Ebenezer is where God does not offer his help. Even though people believe that God will help them, but God did not help them. That is a tragedy. I will come to that. That is a tragedy. Many Christians are hypnotized. Many Christians are brainwashed to believe that God will help them by pastors in a certain situation. But he is not going to help. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Stay with me. I will explain all those things. Before that, let me go to 1 Samuel chapter number 7. This is the second Ebenezer. This is the second Ebenezer. Okay. Now listen to me carefully when I read the scripture. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. Verse number 3 onwards. "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, 'If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, and then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines.' So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only." Underline that, only. "And Samuel said, 'Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you.' So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day, and said, 'There, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah. The lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord, that is the help of the Lord. The Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. That is the help of the Lord. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, and drove them back as far as below Bethkar. Then, verse number 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. A man who receives the help from the Lord, if he leads a nation, if he leads a congregation, the enemy, hallelujah, the hand of the enemy will not work against them. Okay, any which ways. These are the two Ebenezer. Now listen to me carefully, people of God. These are the two Ebenezer. In the first Ebenezer, the people thought the Lord's help will arrive, but it did not arrive. In the second Ebenezer, the Lord's help arrived. What is the difference? So let us start from point number one. 1 Samuel chapter number 4, the first Ebenezer. 1 Samuel chapter number 7, the second Ebenezer. Let us start with point number 1. I want to take you verse number 3 from chapter 4. The elders of Israel said, like a complaint, why has the Lord, they got defeated at Ebenezer, right? So they said, why has the Lord defeated us today? Why? Okay. So why has the Lord defeated us today? If you seek help from God by putting the blame on God, God will not help you. That is the revelation. Are we understanding? Remember when Adam and Eve were stinged with the sting of the serpent, means of the fruit they ate? You know, many people refer unknowingly, many preachers and believers, the apple that Adam ate. It was not an apple, it's called a fruit. The Bible never says it's an apple. It was a fruit. Okay, any which ways. It was the fruit he ate. After eating that fruit, Adam and Eve, Adam said, "God, I did not do it. This woman that you gave, she did it." When you want to receive help from God, listen to me, and at the same time, you are blaming God. God, why I am in this situation? You have to take me out. God is not going to answer that prayer. God, why my husband is doing that to me? Just punish him. No, you are blaming God, and then you want to receive. That is what the people of Israel were doing there. They said, why did the Lord defeat us? We should not be defeated. God has to come. God is not your servant that he will come just like that, whenever you call him. He's not a servant, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You need to humble yourself before him for his help to arrive. So in first column, you cannot receive help from God if you blame God. That is the first point in the first Ebenezer. While the second Ebenezer, what happened in the second Ebenezer? See, let's see. 1 Samuel chapter number 7, verse number 3. Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts." Amen. Amen. That is how you start off with receiving the help of God. You come to the Lord rather than pulling the Lord in your affairs. Yes. Oh, you see, brothers and sisters, don't get me wrong. I am not criticizing any church or anyone. The voice God gave me is to sanctify the body of Christ. That's why it's not my business to to speak these things. I will speak what the Lord gives me. And what I am saying is, you see the churches today? As soon as the prayer meeting starts in the church, I receive my breakthrough. Lord, I command people to favor me. I command people to give me money. I command for supernatural favor from people. I command my boss to do this for me. I command this. I command that. I call in. I command that property to come to me. I command that. That is what they pray. That is how they start off. And that is not how God will help them. Demons will come and start to help them. God will not come there. You see, whenever I pray, I don't pray start prayer like that. First of all, I still myself. I say, Father in heaven, I give you the glory. That's how we start the meeting. We give glory to God. We just don't start, Lord, that person, the property is not coming to person. That person, we pray, we release the property. We release money. We release that. That is not a church. That is a den of thieves, I told you. Where you are just pulling God to fulfill your personal affairs, pulling God in your personal affairs. God cannot be pulled by you. He will not come there. Samuel taught the way to receive the help. He said, come to the Lord, return to the Lord, and do what? Search your hearts to see the idols in your heart. Even before of asking for help, you examine yourself by coming to the Lord. Are we understanding, people? I remember once I did not wanted to go to that meeting to minister, but this man was forcing me. I was eating meat in a restaurant. So the meat was okay. But when I was meeting, the manager of that restaurant happened to be a so-called Christian. And then it happened that he recognized me that, oh, you know, I am a servant of God and I minister the gospel, all those things. So he took my contact and he took my contact from me and he said, you know, no, I want to be in touch. So that man was forcing me to minister on a platform. I did not want to minister, but he was behind me. Please come. So I said, okay. So I was not at all willing. But he so forced me, even at the last moment, please. I said, okay, this man is pleading me so much, let me go. When I went there, oh, what I saw, I thought, let me leave the meeting in between. I was so, the Holy Spirit in me was so grieved because no praise and worship, no prayer. There was the leader, a mid-aged man who was leading the meeting. And you know what he was doing? He was telling everyone, cry for what you want. If you want a baby, just cry. And he was making people cry. Just cry. Whatever you want, God will give you. Whatever you want, just ask from the Lord. Whatever you want. That is how the meeting went. And the Spirit of God was not there. Spirit of God was not there. And then some few people came on the meeting. Oh, brother prayed for me about that man. And he prayed, I prayed, and I got what I wanted. Then another one said, oh, I got what I wanted. I said, oh, God, forgive me for landing up in the den of thieves. Forgive me. I spoke for 5 minutes and I stopped and I left. That's it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I have met people in ministry who would come to me, brother, you know, I was calling you now, good, you call me, you know what, just agree with me for the property, I just want that property, I said, listen, I cannot agree with you, if God does not agree with you. They want to pull God in their own affairs, in their selfish desires. God help will not arrive, people of God. Ebenezer will not arrive. God's help will not arrive there. Are we understanding? Pulling God in your own affairs will not happen. God's help will not come. That is what they were doing. Why has God defeated us today? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord. The Ark of the Lord came, but the glory of the Lord was not there. Today, that is what the churches are doing. The Ark that the Philistines brought in their camp, They shouted in the flesh. Okay, we'll come to the second point. But you see the difference. The first point is putting the blame of God or pulling God in your own affairs. Help will not come. But in the second Ebenezer, the first point is returning to the Lord and searching your hearts to get rid of the idols. That is what our brother was saying. Hallelujah. That we need to sanctify ourselves. God will move you ahead, but sanctify. Hallelujah. We have so much of selfish strongholds. Hallelujah. And I have seen people, we don't know in the beginning, when the hammer of God's word continues to hammer them, after a while, the selfish strongholds in people start to manifest. In the beginning, they will show that they are the best Christian in the whole world to you. But slowly, the selfish strongholds, any which ways. This is the first point. The second point is, demanding God in the first Ebenezer. The second point in the first Ebenezer is demanding God to help you in your ways, believing in your own fantasies and declaring the fantasies in your flesh. First Samuel chapter number 4, verse number 3, the second part of it. Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes, they are saying it, the people of Israel, elders of Israel, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hands of our enemies. Who told you that the ark will save you if your faith and your life is not in place? You know, people, do you know positive speaking? Okay, positive speaking. That is how churches have become. Positive thinking, positive speaking. That's nonsense. You are at the first place, have not humbled yourself before God, got rid of the idols in your life, and you have not done any of those things. You are blaming God. Your life is in idol worship. Your life is in sin. Your life is having all those mess that you have not repented of. There are so many idols, and here you are putting blames on God for situation and demanding God to come, and then you are confessing, oh, God is my help, oh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Those are confessions in the flesh. Positive speaking. Have you seen churches doing that nowadays? Just declare it. Declare it, my money shall come. Everyone will shout, amen. My property shall come. Everyone will shout in the church, amen. My husband is coming. Amen. My wife is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Those are fantasies of the flesh. Those are not the realities of the spirit. Pastor, you know, that woman, I just want the woman, just agree with me. Just declare, I cannot agree. Wait. I am not that kind of pastor. I will not agree. I will just speak the word of the Lord. And if anything does not align to his will, I will tell you, get rid of the woman rather than marrying and praying for the woman. I will not do that. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? Declaration of fantasies and not the realities of the spirit. Declaration of fantasies. People get up 5 in the morning to join a prayer meeting online. And what happens in the prayer meeting is they excite people in the flesh to shout and declare their fantasies. They will say, whoever wants a property, whoever wants $1 million, whoever wants $2 million, just say, I receive 2 million, I receive 1 million, I am a rich man, I am this, I am that. What nonsense. You are a den of thieves. Hallelujah. Jesus said, stop making my father's house a marketplace, a den of thieves, when it is called to be a house of prayer. People are declaring fantasies and not the realities of the spirit. I'm not saying declaration is powerful, but declare the things that you have received from the Lord. Declare the will of God. Declare the realities of the spirit. We declare. But some people are so selfish. They are just blaming God, and here what they want is not anything that God wills to give them, but the thing that I want to have. I receive it. God's help will not come. How much ever loudly you shout, How much ever the drum player is playing the beats behind you and exciting the atmosphere, that shout will never bring the presence of God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Are we understanding? That is the first Ebenezer. What? What demanding God to help you in your own ways, believing in your own fantasies. Get out of fantasies. Get out of your imaginary world. What does the Bible say? Don't say tomorrow we will go to that city, build this, build that. Don't fantasize. Say if the Lord wills, then we will go. Does not that, is it not that the word says that? Don't create your own fantasies and declare it. Hallelujah. 2 years back in my prayer, the Lord showed me a car and the logo of the car. And the Lord told me, I will give you the car. Now I declare that because the Lord showed it to me in my personal prayer. Lord, you showed it to me. I declare it. I will have it. Lord, whatever you will to give me, I will receive it. Hallelujah. The Lord showed me the nations of the earth. I told Lord, I receive the nations. Nations whom I do not know shall run to me. I shall call nations. I declare the word of God, not fantasies. Not fantasies. We declare the will of God. Are we understanding? They were declaring their fantasies. Oh, the ark of the Lord has, God has come, and we will be saved. We will be delivered. We will prosper. We will do this, do that. Many Christians are living in a fantasy world, declaring things. Many prayer meetings have become like that. That is not a house of prayer. All they pray is put on the request of prayer and say, receive the money, receive this, receive that. That's not even prayer. That is a den of thieves. That is not how the apostles taught to pray. That is not how Jesus taught to pray. Jesus said, pray likewise. He did not say, I receive my bread. I receive my coins. I receive this. He said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Prayer is intended towards God, towards God, God's interest and not our interest. Hallelujah. That is the second point in the first Ebenezer. The second point in the second Ebenezer, which is in 1 Samuel chapter number 7. 1 Samuel chapter number 7, it says, what he says? Chapter number 7, verse number 3. Put away the foreign gods and Ashtoreths from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord. So the second point is, rather than believing in fantasies, you throw away the idols that you detected and prepare your heart to seek the Lord. Amen. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord. That is the procedure. Prepare your heart. Lord, I prepare, I align myself to your will. Okay, that is the second point in second Ebenezer. Okay. The third point in the first Ebenezer is coming back to 1 Samuel chapter number 4. 1 Samuel chapter number 4, verse number 5. Verse number 5. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. So, what is that? Showing off your own strength and trusting on your own ability. They shouted out their lungs. The demons will not leave at the decibels of your shout. The demons will leave when you bring the word of the Lord from the realms of the spirit against them. Hallelujah. I taught you about shout. The shout of the spirit and the shout of the flesh. The shout of the flesh is showing off of your ability. When I was preparing this sermon, the Lord told me, Rahul, my son, you know, that is what my people and my churches are doing nowadays. They bring the ark where my presence and glory is not there to help them, but they shout with their flesh. And the ark they are bringing is music in the church. The ark they are bringing is entertainment in the church. The ark they are bringing is famous bands in the church. You know nowadays how mega church pastors function? When they want to do a revival meet, what they will do is they will see the most famous band in the US. Okay, They play well. Their music brings a lot of young people. Let us invite them. That is the ark. And then they come and in the flesh, there is no presence. You know, young people, old people, mid-aged people alike can go in a Taylor Swift concert and raise their hands and jump and dance. Yeah, they can do that. Music can make them dance. And what's the difference if you want the assistance of music to bring the people to your church? What's the use if you want the... people are bringing such things and they think the Lord is with us and they shout in the flesh. We celebrate the Lord, but the Lord is not even there. I have went to places where they are so excited, but I know the Lord was not there. The Lord was not there. The presence was not there. Hallelujah. Oh my God, because what they were doing is just a show of how wealthy their ministry is. Just a show that they are the best in the town. Just a show. That is the shouting of your own ability, showing off. If you don't are keen to say, Lord, you know, take the glory for you. When your name is glorified, my heart is satisfied. I remember that song. Lord, when you are glorified, my heart is satisfied. I know all praise and honor are yours. Hallelujah. When you are glorified, my heart is satisfied. When that attitude you have, Ebenezer, the help of God shall come for you. Amen. That is what Samuel taught them in the third point in the second Ebenezer. He told them to seek the Lord and serve him. What is seeking and serving him? Seeking and serving him is offering your body, life, labor of your hands, your mouth, your heart, your mind, your soul to him, to his altar. That is serving him. What is the reasonable service, people of God? What is ministry? Apostle Paul said ministry, reasonable service is what? Offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice on the altar of God. Don't get the Bible wrong. Ministry is not going out and preaching to people. Have you offered up your life as a living sacrifice on the altar of the Lord? That is serving the Lord. Do you know that? That is serving the Lord. And that is what 1 Samuel chapter number 7, Samuel was teaching them. Samuel was teaching them. He said, serve him. 1 Samuel chapter number 7, verse number 3. Serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Hallelujah. Are we understanding the two Ebenezer? Hallelujah. You will only receive the help of God in your life when you prepare your heart, return to the Lord, get rid of the idol, sanctify yourself, seek him, serve him. Oh, the thunder of the Lord will arrive to fight against your enemy. The help of God. How can you survive, my brother, my sister? Why don't you repent and come to the Lord that you may receive his help? How you may survive? I know you are praying, but all those prayers, all those seeking in the flesh, the Lord will not come. Why don't we examine our hearts, repent of our sins, get rid of the idols, prepare our heart to seek the Lord and tell God, God, you know, I don't want victory for my own benefit or for my own name. Lord, you give me the victory. Hallelujah. So these are the two Ebenezer. Now there are some revelations that I have noted down. You can write it down. The Lord fights the battle only for those who are, there are one, two, three, four points. The first one is the person who is surrendered to follow the strategy of the Lord and not their own. Okay. These are the people whom the Lord will help. The first requirement is, if you are surrendered to follow the strategy of the Lord and not your own, you just don't want to do your own things and own ideas. You cannot be creative with God. You see, we cannot have a creative team in the church. We have to depend on the Spirit of God. There is no creativity. Hallelujah. We have to just align to whatever he is saying. Amen. Listen to me. Second thing, second person. Second people, second requirement, who seek to glorify God and exalt his name. The enemy would... Okay, yes. The second requirement is when a person seeks to glorify God and not their own name. That is the second requirement. The third requirement is when your expectation is only from God. When your expectation is only from God. Let us turn quickly to Psalm 62. Psalm chapter number 62. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter number 62. Let me read from verse number 5 to 8. Give your ear to this scripture now very carefully. Psalm 62, verse number 5 to 8. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. You see the psalm? How much David speaks about his own self and how much David speaks about my God, my refuge, my strength, my salvation. That is the prayer of a person whose expectation is only from one source and not from multiple sources. Many people, when they come to God, they have plan B, plan C, plan D ready for them. Oh, if I will not get anything from this pastor's prayer, I have my own ways ready. Their expectation is not alone from God, and you will see that in their prayer. But a person who expects from God, there will be only God, God, Lord, Lord, Lord in their prayer. My refuge, my strength, my defense, my fortress. There will be only God in their prayer. That is the prayer that brings the help of God. Are we understanding, people of God? Hallelujah. Let me take you to another scripture. This is very, very important, this scripture. 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. Verse number 6 to 10. 1 Kings chapter number 3. Verse number 6 to 10. This is the conversation or prayer of Solomon to God. And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you. See how many times he uses you, 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 you. It's because of you. It's because of you. Okay? Observe the you. He walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued with great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people. You see that prayer? Wow. Your ministry. When you pray, Lord, my people, that person should only listen to me. He should not go there. He should not listen to that pastor. That person is my person. I built him up. I nurtured him. I fed them the word. They are my people. That is the language of Lucifer and not the language of prayer. Because Lucifer, when you read Isaiah 14, Lucifer said, I want to make my throne above God. I want to ascend on high. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to be the beautiful one. I want to be this. You know Lucifer, what Lucifer said in Isaiah chapter number 14. Hallelujah. Okay, let me continue. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Hallelujah. How many times just in your Bible underline the you and yours and you and yours? That means Solomon is just saying, Lord, you know, I am here in the throne of the king because you are appointed me. I am here because you chose my servant. You chose my father David, your servant. Now these are your people. This is your nation. Lord, give me help in the form of wisdom and understanding for the glory of your name. Hallelujah. And what it says, verse number 10, very important. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Wow. Do you want your prayer to please the Lord? This is what you have to follow. Never, pastors, evangelists, prophets, listen to me. Never say Never say, my ministry, my people. Never say that. Lord, your people, your ministry, you appointed me. I remember that. I am very careful with my words. I don't want to speak the language of Lucifer. Hallelujah. My people. Oh, do you know so many pastors in their church, they said, these are my people and you will not listen to Pastor Rahul. You will not go there. You will not listen to him. Yes. What they are doing. God's help will not come. I said, okay. That's fine. My ministry is not with people. My ministry is with him. Hallelujah. Even if 100 people go away and go somewhere else, I will praise the Lord, because I know the enemy can snatch people, but the enemy cannot snatch the anointing on my life, cannot snatch the gift. And through that anointing, if he snatched 100 people, God will give me 1,000 people, because he did not snatch my anointing. I still have it. I am so sad to see pastors insecure about congregation. Oh, he is going there. Oh, he is listening to this person. Why are you insecure? You are not even called. You don't believe God. I don't know. I think God has not called you. That's what you think. If you are so insecure that if one person, 10 people go, oh, your ministry will die down. Oh, hasn't God called you? Don't you trust the gifts God gave you? Hallelujah. And that conviction will only come when you say, Lord, it's your ministry. Lord, it's your gifts. Lord, it's your anointing. Lord, it's you. Lord, for the glory of your name, that man is helped by God. That man is helped by God. Are we understanding? Okay, that is what I'm saying. The point number 3, God helps those people who give glory to his name and whose expectation is only from the Lord. And the 4th point is, God will not help people who want God to assist them in fulfilling their personal grudges. You see, if you have a personal grudge against someone, so many families I've seen, oh, my husband is doing that. Lord, you destroy him. Lord, you do this. It's your personal grudge. God will not intervene in that matter. God will not intervene. You know why God helped David and protected him from Saul? Because David did not have a personal grudge against Saul. He said, he's the Lord's anointed one. Let him do what he's doing. The Lord will judge him. I have nothing to do with him. Hallelujah. Do you remember what I said? If you cut the worms, they will multiply. What you have to do is enclose them in a jar. Bind their attacks. And ask the Lord to protect you. And paralyze us. That's all you have to do. Don't have personal grudge. If you have unforgiveness, bitterness, and in that bitterness and in that unforgiveness, you pray for that person and say, God judge that person. God do this against him. God do that. They accuse me. No. You have personal grudges. Get rid of your bitterness for those people first. Learn to love your enemies. Learn to love your enemies. See, listen to me. Loving your enemies is not sitting with them, kissing them and telling me, oh, how much I love you. Even if you beat me, even if you put a knife in my stomach, I will still hug you. Not that love. Love them from a distance. Do you understand that? Loving them is having no grudge against them, having no unforgiveness against them. Okay, so many people, I want to love. So I go to my enemies, I kiss them, I sit with them. No. Love them. That is not love. Love them from a distance. Don't have any personal grudge. And whenever you remember about them, Lord, you do your will in their lives. That's it. You teach them whatever they are doing. Lord, you convict them that they are wrong and may they know you. That's what, pray for your enemies. But if you carry personal grudges against people, unforgiveness, bitterness against people, God will not help. God will not help. Okay, let me end here. Let us decide which Ebenezer we want to be in. Do we want to be in the Ebenezer of 1 Samuel chapter number 4? Or we want to be in the Ebenezer of 1 Samuel chapter number 7? Where the people threw away the idols, consecrated themselves, sanctified themselves, and then the help of the Lord arrived for them. Hallelujah. How much ever. I am telling you, let us start to pray. I prophesy, however strong The attacks of the enemy are on your life. I want to prophesy, your God is more powerful than the enemy. In the name of Jesus, let's start asking for the help of God. Oh God, help us. Oh God, help us. I want to read a scripture and pray. People of God, come on the screens. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Rabobo shatarabababa. Oh God. Thank you, Lord. My heart and my strength, many times they fail. But there is one truth that always will prevail. My heart and my strength, many times they fail. But there is one truth that always will prevail. That God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Hallelujah. My strength is failing. My heart may fail, but Lord, you are the strength of my heart. Oh, Lord God, I depend on you. I depend on you. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 14 says, the Lord thundered from heaven and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundation of the world were uncovered. At the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. Yes, this is the man whom the Lord helps. Are you able to tell, Lord, I have kept your commands and I have not done as the wicked have done? If the wicked threw stones at me, I did not throw the stones back, Lord. Instead, I prayed, Lord. Instead, I depended on you. Is your life like that? Completely dependent on the Lord, that the Lord's help will arrive. And you don't even, you can't even imagine the way the Lord will help you. And today, I want to, for those people who are aligning with the word of God and who are praying, I send the Lord's help for you in Jesus' mighty name. The enemy who is bothering you, the Lord is sending the thunder against them to confuse them in Jesus' mighty name. The Lord is by your side, my friend. The Lord is by your side as a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. The angel of the Lord is given to you that you shall not be harmed, my friend. Hallelujah. Just depend on him and expect from him and live for the glory of his name. I want to warn those people, by strength you will not prevail. Depend on the strength of the Lord. Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ebenezer. Samuel said, thus far the Lord has helped us. You see the expression of words. He said, till now the Lord has helped us, but we have to continue to depend on him to receive his help. That is what he's saying. Ebenezer, humble yourself before God under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I am telling you, hallelujah, if you receive the help of the Lord. Oh, they said about Jesus, no man can do such things unless God be with him. Oh, God is the one, not we, not you, not Pastor Rahul. God is the one. Lord is the one. By his strength we fight battles. By his glory, hallelujah, we preach the gospel. By his spirit we punish demons and all disobedience. By his authority and power, we break every witchcraft. Yes, and this earthen vessel, the glory does not belong to this earthen vessel, but the glory that comes from heaven, it belongs to God who sends it inside of me. Hallelujah, that greater is he who is in me than the one who is in the world. God is my help, the rock. Oh Lord, God is my rock, my fortress, my refuge, my strength, my salvation, my strong tower. Oh God, hallelujah, you are my help in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For when you are glorified, my heart is satisfied to know all praise and honor are yours. And when all creation sings to you, the King of Kings, we know all praise and honors are yours. Lord, when you are glorified, my heart is satisfied to know all praise and honor are yours. And when all creation sings to you, the King of Kings, we know all praise and honor are yours. Hallelujah. Let us clap unto him. All praise and honor is his. Let him get the glory for every battle we win. Let glory be to God on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for this time. We cover all of us, Lord, with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for even protecting our brother Clayton, Lord. Oh, Lord. Yes, Lord. You said angels are in charge over him, Lord. And Lord, death cannot defeat any one of those of whom you have chosen in your sheepfold. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind and I destroy spirits who want to take people out of the sheepfold of God so that the enemy can destroy them once they are out. In Jesus' name, I bind those spirits. We bind those spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, the sermon that I preached last week, it was very important. It was from my heart to teach you and to tell you that we have to be in the corporate gathering of Christ under the covering of the Lord. Jesus said, of any of the sheep that you have given to me, Father, I want to lose no one. So when we are in the sheepfold of Jesus, we are protected by him. Hallelujah. And God is raising up an army. Let me tell it again. I am appointed for an eternal purpose, for a heavenly purpose. And at the command of the Lord, I am speaking and doing what I am doing to raise up an army for the end time. Hallelujah. From the nations of the earth. This is, oh God, these are the end times. Hallelujah. I don't know how to explain how crucial the times we are living in now are. And I want to tell you, be in the army of God, be in the fellowship of God's people. Hallelujah. And the Lord's anointing and the dew of Hermon will rest on you in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for your help. Hallelujah. I so rejoice. My heart is glad that I am not doing anything. You are doing. Your help has arrived. My help has come in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we ask this prayer. Amen.